Welcome to The Real Love Show on Rurac Radio with Patricia Benjamin. This is The Real Love Show. I'm Patricia Benjamin and you're listening to Rurac Radio.
Oh yeah, being with you. I love being with you. In the solitude of quietness and in my pursuit to find myself, I'm aware of just how blessed I am to commune with you. Now in my life there's a lot of time spent with cute cliches and speaking eloquent. But in my heart is the true sentiment. So let me be true.
Being with you,
I love
being with you.
There is nothing else I'd rather
being
do.
Being with you.
I shouldn't have to pretend like I'm something I'm not. And I don't wanna floss like I got a lot, cause I don't. And there are things in my past that I'm glad you forgot, and that I tell you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I think it was Andre that said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I would tell the world, but that still wouldn't be enough. So I'll just be content with an audience of one. Thank you for spending time with your son. Being here. Here. Sometimes I feel like I don't wanna sing your song. No, I don't. Cause I am far from perfect, and I don't wanna lead anybody wrong. Ooh, but you above all people know my heart, and you know where I stand. Yes, you do. So I'm gonna stay right here till I become a better man. Ooh, being here with you, oh Lord, that's all I ever wanna do. You, I wanna be right here with you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
with you, I can let my guards down. And with you, I can pour my heart out. Yeah, 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 yeah. Being right here with you, 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 you. I can tell you all about my fears. And I can show you all of my tears, Lord. Being with you, you.
can let it down.
I can pour my heart out.
Ooh, no matter what, Lord, I know that you have my best interest at heart. Ooh, 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 I love being here with you.
This is First Lady Myesha Chaney of Preachers of LA. You're listening to Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show on Ruach Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. Here we are in the Love Zone. It's the Real Love Show here on Ruach Radio. And I've got my lovely guest co-presenter today, all the way back from way in the day, from the Ask Patricia Show, the lovely Jo James. How are you doing there, Joan?
I'm well, Patricia. How are you?
I am great. Back in the Love Zone now. Okay, no more hard talk. No yes. more no more hot topics. We're talking relationships. We're talking love. And actually today we're going to talk about fatherhood. But usually when I talk about these topics, Joan, I normally have somebody like, you know, Coach Vial,
yes,
over from sunny California, who gives all the best relationship advice. But, you know, I often like to go straight to the horse's mouth,
yes,
and speak to somebody who's gone through that particular experience. So we're talking fatherhood today, but in particular, we're looking at young fatherhood. And to help us do so, I've got a lovely guest in the studio with me today, whose name is Jason. Jason, welcome to The Real Love Show.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for joining us. All right. So young fatherhood as opposed to any other type of fatherhood. I wonder what the difference is, really. It's the same thing, isn't it? I'd imagine. But Jason, you became a father fairly young. What age were you when you became a father?
I believe I was 21.
21, okay. So were you a mature 21? Because some people are more mature than others, aren't they, at certain ages?
Well, I believed I was, but until circumstances happened, that's when it was time to grow up and actually get into manhood.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very interesting. So would you say then, apart from the obvious, that fatherhood has radically changed your life, or has it been a pretty much smooth transition?
I wouldn't say it was smooth.
You wouldn't?
No, can't be smooth, because it's a change of your life.
Yeah.
And it changes you totally, because it opens up another shell to you, I believe, another character you have inside of you.
Yes.
Allows you to grow and actually know who you actually are.
You know? That's interesting, actually, that you would say that, to actually know who you are.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is, yeah.
So when you say to know who you are, did you actually consciously ask yourself a question, or was that like a process?
It was a big process, because my son is 3 now.
Right.
Just turned 3 in April, and the first couple years was crazy.
Yeah,
because I thought I was doing well in my head, but then I realized like there were certain things I was being told what I should be doing, and I saw it as maybe I was being nagged at, or like just finding anything to complain about. You know, I thought I was trying.
Yes,
I generally did. But then when you actually sit down and you look at like what's actually going on here, you realize that like, I could do this better. You know, I could, what does my son think about me? What's he going to think later on in life? You know, what choices I have to make? Like, it's not just me.
Yes, of course.
Like, even just going to the gym. Like, I've got to think, have I got time? What am I going to be doing later? Do I need to prepare any food? Do I need to be there for him? So it changes everything. Like, even job-wise, you know.
Yes.
Like, it's the money for us. It's not my money. You know, I've got to get more money. It's all different, you know.
Yeah. So when you say that at the beginning you thought, I'm doing pretty good here, you know, I'm on the scene, I'm trying really hard, and perhaps you thought things that were being told to you, you saw it as nagging. What types of things were you being told that you at the time you thought they were nagging? What do you mean? Give an example.
Well, it was like the time spent.
Yeah.
And like, because I was like, I think I was at a part-time job at the time.
Yeah.
And then someone gave me a position to do, so I started doing it. And it was like full-time. I've never done that before.
Right.
You know, and I was working in central London, so even if you finish at 9, you're getting home at 10. You know, you got to deal with waking up early, getting home late. And it was the fact that she thought that I wasn't trying to spend any time, you know.
Right.
Because obviously I'll get in and baby's going to sleep or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, I'm tired as well, you know.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. I'm tired. Like, this is what, not what you're supposed to do, but, you know, that's what in my head, because I was young. I wasn't thinking like, oh, maybe she's tired.
Yes.
I was thinking like, give me a break sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, time off, like, what am I doing? And I just wanted to have the day off, you know? But I wasn't in that zone where, hey, wait, I have a child, like, he needs to be with me.
Mm. Yeah.
It was just so different, you know? It probably not nagging, but it just felt like, I need a break, man.
Right. Because
it's something new to me. Like, we just had a child, but I just got a new job. And I was under pressure. So,
of course.
It was going both ways, but I didn't see her side. She didn't see my side.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah,
I can imagine that. It is part of the adjustment, really, because you're saying, okay, I need a break as well. And it's quite natural to want a break, you know. But I suppose on the mum's point of view, she's thinking, well, I never get a break, you know, even if I am tired, because I'm going to be with baby all day. And perhaps she wants you to sort of take over while perhaps you can go out for half an hour or something, you know, to get half an hour away. So now you look back, you're saying, actually, it wasn't nagging. I could have done more.
To a degree. We're not always right. We're not always wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but some things it's just in moderation and working together.
Yeah.
And we're both young. We both had not egos, but I think we're both stubborn.
Right.
As well. So it just plays a part. I think she's kind of similar to me.
Yes, Joan, you got your hand raised.
Can I ask you a question? What did you feel like when you got the news? Was it bittersweet because of you said you were young?
Do you know what the funny thing about this is that I thought, you know what, I'm getting decent money. At that time, I thought it was decent money. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's not even financial. Having a child is a lot of your mind, how strong you are as a person. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, you can be only 50 grand. But you might not know how to look after your child.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was fine.
Do you think there was an element, like you said, you change? Is there? Do you look back and think, well, I was selfish back then, and now I can't be selfish because I've got a child?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because another part, basically, like, I just started working literally when I was 19, so like I was just enjoying myself. My money was like my money,
of
you know.
Of course,
So I was content. I was doing things, but then when it's like, okay, wait, this is not mine anymore. It's ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To a degree, obviously, but it was just totally different. Maybe I was selfish, but like, I wasn't finished doing what I was
doing. Yeah, you're still doing you.
It's the whole transition of, hey, it's time to be a father, but it doesn't happen overnight, you know?
The question I don't want to ask, but I have to, was there an element of resentment, whether to the child or the child's mother? Was there any of that element when, you know, based on what you just said?
Resentment. You know what? It's just... I'll try to dodge the question.
No, I mean, it's the case of... towards yourself. Yeah.
I just feel like maybe I should later down the line because it was kind of a rush process, literally. But it's just like you just go in, you like just go for it. You just do what you're doing, sort of thing, which is the wrong way sometimes. Mm. But I believe it was a blessing for me to actually go through it because I can go through it at an earlier age, and then now when I hit 30, like 25, like I'm in my stride.
That's good,
you know? So I would encourage people to be actually a young parent. Yeah. Because doing it at 40 and 30 is kind of, I believe it's kind of too late.
Mm.
Because you're losing energy as well, you know.
So, I almost feel really old.
I have been the first anyway, you know, it's not easy. It takes a lot of even just sitting down watching the child, like even feeding them, like, you think it's just sitting down, but it's not, because you get drained, you know.
Just watching.
But I'm trying to connect the generation before us and the generation after us, and I think, how did they make it look so simple? Because you're talking about care and compassion. I'm remembering, like, eat your dinner. Eat your dinner, that's it. And you're talking about putting the emotion, the passion and everything else, which we're supposed to have, which is why you're probably saying it's draining. But then with us, it was, there's your dinner, eat it.
Yes. That's so true. You weren't really given a choice. What do you want for lunch? Like, this is your dinner.
And sit down and time to pamper you and feed you. Like, if you don't eat it for breakfast, it's lunch.
It's going
to
be your lunch. Yeah, that's quite funny. But where you were saying, Jason, about, you know, you had to discover who you were.
Yeah.
Obviously, did you then have an impact on your relationship with your child's mother? Because in that case, I would imagine if you're discovering yourself, that she's going through the same process.
Yeah, big time. Because I'm trying to get into the shoes of being a dad, and get into the shoes of, I'm trying to deal with this job, I'm trying to be a good partner.
Yes.
It's all like, and then my situation was a case of we was all living in the same house.
Right.
So I was living in her mum's house with her.
Yeah.
So then I was getting stuff in the ear from her mum as well as her. So it's like, oh man. And then like I wasn't near my family at the time, so it's like,
yeah.
And a lot of things that I was getting told is, oh, you're the man, you're supposed to do everything. You know, literally that's the message that I, and it's like that got drilled into my head.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know what, let me just do that. But it was crazy.
Yeah.
I felt too much. But I actually went to a state of like, a lot of people don't know this, but I went through a little state of depression for a little bit, and I actually quit my job.
Yeah.
You know, because I needed that break just to find, okay, like I need to get this done.
Of course.
I need to know what am I trying to do in this life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's me and my child. Like,
yes.
You know, and then she was going through what she was going. I think she might have even had a little postnatal
depression.
Yeah, but she probably dealt with it in a different way because she was getting a lot of support from her mum, and she got because her mum she wasn't married either, so their message was like, you can do this, like without a guy, sort of thing,
right?
You know, and it was a lot of stuff going on without getting into too much detail, but it tore us apart,
right?
You know, for a little while. So,
Do you think the fact that she came from an environment where you say the mother said, oh, we can do this anyway, do you think that had a negative impact on the two of you? Because you didn't necessarily try to make it work together at that time.
Yeah, because a lot of it was like, I remember even the first night we brought him back, I think she tried to breastfeed him. And it was, because for some mothers that can be very, what's
nurturing,
the word?
Yeah.
But it was like, for her, it wasn't working. You know?
Okay.
So she's getting upset. So her mum was next door, and I was just trying to tell her, like, don't worry, it's okay, so fine.
Yes.
But make her feel all right. But literally, she'll run to her mum.
Right.
You know, so it's like, she'll get all of her comfort from her mother. And it's like, we're supposed to be doing this together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if your mum wasn't there?
That's
true,
yes.
And knowing that you've always got, like, a backup, it's like, you're not always, what's the word? You're not always worried about what's going on right now. I'm not worried about your partner because I've always got something there. My mum sort me out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't helpful to me because I couldn't get that proper bond as make us a family.
You know, so
it was hard, but I won't blame everyone. You know, everyone plays their part.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say then, leaving that angle out of it, because even if that had been the perfect, you know, scenario, you still would have been a young father.
Yeah.
And so what do you think is the most challenging part of being a father? What's the hardest part?
A young father or a father in general?
I think being a young father, first of all, and then we'll talk about fatherhood in general.
The pressures. Some people don't believe in you, you know?
Really?
Yeah, because you're young.
Okay.
And they judge you and like, you're young. Like, why are you having kids for? What is your why?
Right.
You know, that's what you're hearing and you're seeing. That people be looking at people. Like, I even look at, like, a 16-year-old and pushing buggies, like, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But, like, I was 20 and I was thinking, oh, this is normal, you know?
Right.
But there's a lot of pressures involved being a young father. But I think it's cool. Like, I think it's like, because I'm very trendy myself, so I'll be putting, like, all these designer stuff on my son. You know, I just want to give him stuff, you know, that maybe I didn't have. Like, just make him enjoy.
Yes.
You know, obviously, when he gets older, I'll show him what life really
of
is
course,
about.
Of course, yeah.
I find it's very challenging, but as they get older, it's kind of like, not walking apart, but I'm better with it. Like, the first 6 months to a year, he didn't even want to be next to me.
So oh, no.
He'd be crying. Every time I go crying, or TV, he ain't trying to be bothering with me.
Okay.
So,
but was it because of you, though? Or
I think it was because he was used to being around the mother.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was hard. I'm telling you, like, he would cry at night time, putting him to bed. He would cry. I would give him to his grandmother.
Yes.
He will stop crying.
Oh, no.
You know?
Your babies are good like that.
It was what's going on here? And then I had to learn that you need to get that relationship.
Yes.
Because it's not even about, some people see their kids like every day, you know, but they don't have that connection.
Right.
It's like, I don't, our situation, I don't live with the mother and my son.
No.
So I see him every fortnight for literally like a few days, you know.
Mm.
But like the bond, it's about the quality rather than the quantity. You know?
Right.
That time that you spend, what you teach him, and what he remember, every time you see when his face is glowing, he's like, hey, daddy, like, that's all he says.
Yes.
Like, daddy, now he doesn't want to go home to his mum sometimes, you know? And it's crazy because, like, I thought when we split that it would be so hard to me to get that.
Yes.
But that's when I made myself, like, focus. you know, focus and know what's actually real, you know, and I changed my life habits, you know, like even I'm spending certain money on certain things I don't need to be spending them on.
So have you found you've had to make more sacrifices then?
Big time. Big time. I don't remember the last time I bought a pair of trainers.
Is a sacrifice.
Without thinking about the price. Because when you're just thinking about, hey, let's say you earn a grand and you know that that grand is all yours, you know, where it's like you're thinking about, okay, I've got to pay for nursery.
Yes.
I've got to pay for his clothes. What something might happen in the month.
Right.
You go from chilling with your money to like, oh wait, this goes five different ways now. You know, so you make sacrifices, and you make sacrifices on some decisions you make, like what jobs or where you might want to live,
right?
Because you got to be near enough to your child. So a lot of it actually very sacrificial, but when you make the sacrifices, you realize it's all worth it.
Joan, I don't know what your thoughts are listening to that, but I think understanding the fact that you have to have deep conversations with yourself.
Yeah, but you know, I'm really inspired by you as well. All what you've just said.
Yes.
Kudos for you for hanging in there as well, because some people would have said it's too hard and go.
Yes, and lots of them
everything
do.
Everything you've said, I mean, that's just really very, very good. Applause for you, you know. And I'm assuming your background, your family, where you came from, that must have been a tight unit. You probably, I'm assuming you had a mother and father there. Because obviously you... the views were different. You didn't understand why, where she was coming from without having a father. Because I've heard the same story over again, where women, the mother is the father, the actual grandmother is taking place of the father. Don't Good worry, grief. We can do it without him.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and pushing you out. So that's why I applaud you for standing your ground. Because I've even known of some people, the mother saying to the boy, the young boy,
the young
man,
father.
You can't be in there when she's giving birth. I have to be there and stepping into that place. Yeah,
that's not even her right to do that.
Exactly, and that's because neither of them were used to the husband or the father figure or that unit. So that's why I'm assuming the unit you came from is what you pushed forward.
But I would have assumed that even if you come from a place where you don't have your father, but you are now in the position of becoming a mom and you're with a partner. Wouldn't you sort of say, no, I want him with me?
That's not the norm. Remember, we don't know what that's like, but that's not their norm. This is our norm, so we can think of it quickly.
Yes.
But that's not their norm. They've never had it.
Did you find that at all, or you didn't have that situation? Were you happy? Was it okay for you to be there in the delivery room, or did you have to wait outside, pacing up and down, waiting to hear what the doctor said?
Literally, the night it happened, I remember that's the 24 hours, we went actually to St. Thomas.
Right.
Because she was having all these pains. So I think she got induced or something like that. Then went home and then she kept having contractions.
Right.
Crazy contractions now. And then I think like 2 a.m, she was like, oh, I need to go to hospital.
Yeah.
So then we got in the taxi now, went there, and then they was like, yeah, you're ready to go.
Right.
So there was no breaks, no pause, no nothing. They're like, you're even going to have to help. That's what
really?
I was told. I didn't even know what to expect. I just see on the TV and that, but it's actually real, you know.
Oh, wow.
So we got in there, literally, it was quick. I'm talking a few pushes, and the baby was there.
It was baby.
Crazy. It was so quick, you know.
Oh, my God.
Your emotions like that?
I didn't even have an emotion.
Really?
Because it was so quick. It was like, I didn't know what was going on.
Wow.
I mean, I see the head coming out and a baby there. Like I didn't cry, I didn't nothing. And then funny enough, my friend was outside. So he just, cause I texted him, I said I'm going to hospital, he's like, I'm coming. I said it's probably nothing. So he met me there. It was a proper joyous moment, you know. But it's like I didn't have time for an emotion because baby came out so quick.
Oh my gosh. You know? Oh my gosh.
I kissed her on the forehead and said thank you, but it's like it was so quick.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know?
So when the emotions did kick in, what were the emotions then?
I think I had to go. I went home.
Right.
So I think it's about he's born at 3:25 a.m. So went home. She had to go rest and stuff like that. And I had work in the next morning. So I think I was just texting him. I think BlackBerry Messenger at the time. I'm like, oh, I'm a dad now. Da, 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 da. So I was just mad excited.
Yes.
But I still didn't know what's actually going on because it's like
it
hasn't hit me yet because I'm not home with the family yet.
Right. You know? Yes. Yes.
But I was excited. Like, yeah, I'm a dad now. You know. Yeah, until you actually have your family with you, you're all sitting there and you see him. It's emotional, but I can't cry anymore. I'm not that sort of person.
Not even a few tears.
I can't do it. I haven't done it in a long time. Probably since I got beaten or something when I was younger. So I don't remember the last time. So it's crazy, man.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A good experience. Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're obviously talking about young fatherhood. Do you feel then that it has been a learning curve for you? If there was somebody listening who's perhaps heard the news, maybe somebody as young as you were at the time, mm-hmm. and has heard the news, oh my gosh, my wife's pregnant or my girlfriend's pregnant, and perhaps they didn't plan it, they weren't expecting this to happen,
yeah.
what would you advise them to look for? I mean, everybody's situation is obviously going to be different,
yeah.
but is there anything that you want to say, you know, maybe think about this?
I would say you have to be very patient.
All right.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And not exaggerate. Like, I mean, do not underestimate whatever's being said to you. Like, why is if she's feeling pain?
Right.
Or like if she's stressing on something, because mm-hmm. like sometimes you think it's minor, like, oh, she's just nagging, she's just this, she's just that. But it's like, sometimes there's a reason, you know? Like,
yes.
sometimes you need to relax. Sometimes going out with your boys for the extra hours, you could be at home with her.
Yes.
You know, just do that for her, because it'll make her feel better and it'll be a happier process in the pregnancy.
Yes.
As well. And just try to work with everyone and just try to be a team. Because if you're not a team, then the ship is going to sail, man.
That's a really good point. In fact, when we come back on the other side of this break, let's talk about the team. You're listening to The Real Love Show. I'm your host, Patricia Benjamin. I've got my guest co-host today, the lovely Jo James.
This is Paul Carrick Brunson, and you are listening to one of my favorite shows, Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show.
Faithfully every day. now available to a worldwide audience. The all-new Ruach City Church online store. Hosting preaching messages, books, music, and much more, this is your place to purchase inspirational products and experience Ruach City Church at the click of a button wherever you are. Whether it be a Sunday service message or a powerful conference message, you'll be able to purchase MP3 audio and MP4 video downloads, as well as CDs and DVDs, receiving the Word of God in an instant. You'll also be able to take advantage of the many great ministry products from Bishop John Francis and Co-Pastor Penny Francis. Log on today to www.ruachcitychurch.org and visit our online store, where everybody is somebody.
Ruach City Church Singles Ministry presents
Relationship
Uncovered
Part
2. This will be taking place at Ruach City Church, Kilburn, 197 to 199 Kilburn High Road, London, NW6 7HY.
Do you have any unanswered questions regarding relationships?
Come and join in the discussion with our panel of experts who will share their experience on relationships and answer any questions you may have on Christian dating, marriages, single parenting, divorce, and much more.
Don't miss this event. This will be your opportunity to ask questions you always wanted to know the answer to.
So join us Friday the 12th of June.
Relationship
Uncovered
Part
2.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Event commences at 7 p.m. sharp.
Relationship
Uncovered
Part
2.
This year, the Pentecostal Credit Union celebrates its 35th anniversary, and we are inviting you to its prestigious gala dinner and gospel concert taking place on Saturday, the 6th of June at the Wandsworth Civic Suite, Wandsworth Town Hall, London, SW18 2PU. With a cocktail reception at 6 p.m. and dinner at 7 p.m. with keynote speaker Bishop John Francis. Compere at this lavish event will be Moyowa and comedy from Angie Lamar and performances from Mobile Gospel Award winner Lauren Cato and the London Community Gospel Choir. Tickets cost only £25 and are selling fast. So get yours now by calling 077 22 435 555. That's 077 22 435 555. Or go to the website www.pcuuk.com and buy your tickets to one of the most exciting gospel dinner events of the year, the Pentecostal Credit Union Gala Dinner and Concert, Saturday, the 6th of June. You don't want to miss it.
This is Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, and you're listening to Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show on Ruach Radio.
Yes, you are. Welcome back. Today we're talking about young fatherhood. We have our guest in the studio, Jason, who is sharing his experience. Now, Jason, I was just thinking during the break, there are lots of, I mean, Joan was saying, yeah, well done to you, kudos, you know, for sticking around. However, there are lots of guys who don't stick around. What are some of the reasons why the guys don't stick around when they become fathers?
The environment that they're in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause some women make it like a hellhole in there.
Mm.
The examples is like all nagging and forcing you to do certain things, like saying you're not doing a good job sometimes, you know?
Right.
Little things, they'll like make a big deal out of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you don't see you might do your 12-hour shift, you come home, you sit down for a minute, and they're nagging you to get up and come feed the baby.
Right.
Fair enough, you've been at home and that, but like my partner, she never slept when the baby slept.
Right.
And that's what you're advised to do when
they
sleep and you sleep. So she should be coming with herself,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that you should be napping as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, and then that'll keep everyone in a better mind frame, you know. Keeping being a team, basically, like having that household strong.
Yeah.
A strong unit. Without that, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like you're not gonna go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like being stubborn, not listening mm-hmm. to each other.
Right.
You know, and then putting the baby there mm-hmm. as well, you know,
mm-hmm.
bringing the baby involved in this, an issue that me and you are having.
Right. When you say bring the baby there, what do you mean bring the baby? The baby's
like an example. I think something happens when they're like, oh, you don't see your child enough, or
mm-hmm.
you don't make the effort enough to mm-hmm. do that. But it's like you don't see what I'm doing, or they you don't see what I'm doing. Like, I'm trying, like, so hard.
Right. So they don't acknowledge then the input that you are giving.
I understand that you're home. I know you're doing your thing, but it's like, understand what I'm doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm actually out there so long. I'm trying to do this for us.
Right.
I'm not working long. No one wants to work long hours.
That's so true. That's so true.
There's a reason why you do these things, and it's just like, why don't you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have another voice going on behind them,
yeah,
that's pushing them to show them what life is and what should be going on, that doesn't even have a reason to talk in the first place, then it's like, it's blind leading the blind up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Well, you can't win, you know? And that forces you guys to just kind of go your own ways. Even you might even take a break, you might try to come back, but it's not going to change overnight.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed, I mean, Joe, I'm sure you come across, there's lots of women, we call that okay, single moms, who are actually very bitter.
Yeah.
Very, very exactly bitter towards the men.
Yeah. It's almost, I asked Jason if there was resentment, but there's also resentment on the woman's side too, because she's, I put it this way, left holding the baby. It feels as if my life has changed, my life is ruined.
Yes.
You don't know. But like Jason said, communication. Because I reflect back on the old days when we were growing up.
Yes.
Our mother didn't say spend quality time to our fathers with us, did they? It was just a given. You go to work and that's what you do. And you know, you come home and you get dinner served to you and the kids move out the room. It's like, don't bother daddy.
I think there's different expectations now, because mine was exactly the same. My dad wasn't there during the day. And when he was there, he'd come home, have his lunch, have his meal.
Yeah.
He might be there for half an hour, then be out at the pub having his pint until about 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Then you might see just before you go to bed.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
might bring him a nice packet of crisp and you'd forgive him.
Well, Snickers used to be called Marathon back then. It was marathon. Yeah, we did the marathon and it was like, ooh, that was our 10 minutes,
yeah.
1 minute glee from daddy.
That was our quality time.
So the expectations that they are putting on the guys, I'm not saying it's unrealistic,
but
I do understand it, especially if you're coming home, you're dealing with people at work, and then you have to come home. You do want that time, just a bit of time to relax, you know?
So from a guy's point of view then, let's imagine there's a young single mum listening who's feeling a bit resentful. Perhaps her partner's, he is there, but she feels that he's not there as often as he could be. What thoughts perhaps could she bear in mind?
The reason why he's outside in the first place. What is he doing this for? You know? Like, why would, like, he's going to work. Like, some males are not working. Not working, you know. Some are actually signing on, and then they've been put on CSA?
Yeah,
the
child support.
And they're giving their child £10 a month.
Ridiculous.
And they're happy about that. It's nothing.
Wow.
And you've got some men that are actually going out there to earn this money to go put it back into the family and try to build something. And they don't see the vision. If you don't see the vision, then it doesn't help. You know, but sometimes you just gotta have faith in your partner in the first place. So why did you have a child with him in the first place?
Yeah.
But it's almost like you didn't come into your own, because I was talking to a friend that I knew from some years ago. I won't say how many years ago, but when I was around, you know, your age, when your partner gave birth. So I was looking at my insecurities back then, and we were talking about how I've grown, and I didn't have a child. So without having a child and having to go through those motions, looking back, and it was a case of we could both see how I've grown, how we've both grown, because I didn't know who I was, identity crisis, and both of you going through that at the same time. And I think studies say that partners are together when they're 16. When they get to 21, there's such a massive change, hormones and everything else that's going on. So you've got those things going on, then a baby comes in the mix of it as well. So it causes almost an explosion. And the woman is supposed to be advanced, which is why they're always saying to the guys, you need to do this and you need to do that.
So
they're so forward advanced in years when it comes to that. So there's where the clash begins. So it's a case of identity, so forth, and they should be, or there could be a group where it deals with that, where people come together and say, I'm learning to be me, but I haven't got that, so how do I deal with having baby and having another person in my life, you know?
Do you feel, Jason, that there is sufficient support for guys? Because there seem to be, like, in their mother and toddlers group, things for women, and we're quite good at coming together and having a chat with our girlfriends, but do we need the same kind of support for young fathers?
It's a bit, The thing is, if I was offered a class or like somewhere to attend, I probably wouldn't attend it.
Okay.
That's the thing with us guys. Sometimes we just want to learn the hard way.
Okay.
Or we just don't believe in it. Because
really?
Yeah, we don't believe in meeting up and talking about this and just let's just do it.
Okay.
Let's just get on with it.
But they could have the toddlers bring the baby. Don't leave the baby outside of the group, the men and babies, and do their bonding time, even just bonding time together with the child, just like the mother has the...
Yeah.
You know, because you said that when the baby was teething, children naturally go towards a woman anyway, whether it's their mother or not, for nurturing.
That's true. But, I mean, what is it that is so difficult for guys... to talk? Is it just that they don't like talking any about their feelings? Because we're quite happy to come and say, yes, I need to talk to my girlfriend. But you guys, oh no, we're fine, let's watch the game, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I was talking to my friends about this the other day. Like, we'll talk to each other, but we know that when we're having a conversation with each other, that we've got some underlying stuff we need to chat about. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to talk about that because we don't want to get into it. Or we might joke and say, oh, you're being emotional. Or, da, da, da. Or we'll just laugh about it. But we do, guys, we need to speak, you know, we need to let it out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just have to let it out. It's better for your spirit as well and your blood.
Yes.
You know, just lay it out. But we just won't do it because we don't like...
So what will it take to do it? Because like you're saying, you kind of need to. You kind of have a little joking reference to it, but you don't actually do it. So what will it take to do it, bearing in mind that you know you need to?
I don't know. Something, I don't know. Maybe when something major happens, that's when people show their feelings.
Yeah.
You know, like if something happens to their parents or something happened, you know, they want to talk about it. But if it's normal every day, no one really wants to be spoke about anything. Not negative, but everyone wants to be happy.
Okay.
They don't want to talk about any other issues in life because everyone's worrying about what they got to worry about. Sometimes you're like putting burdens on people.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah. Do you think, why is it that we find it easier to talk then, Joan?
I suppose, I hate to say, but we built that way.
Okay.
And we built that way because I've listened to a lot of, you know, marriage shows like Marriage Today and things like that.
Yes.
And he talks about the dynamics of a man. It's like we want 1, 2, 3 and that's it. Whereas we are very, you know, multitasks.
Yes.
And so we naturally do that. That's part of our makeup.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just that women are just more emotionally mature. Do you think we're just more emotionally mature, or is that not fair to say?
Mature in the sense of
emotionally.
That emotion, some people just love talking. You know, so what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah, but then the talking can be healing because even when you have counselling, sometimes they call it talking therapy.
But if you talk at somebody rather than talk to the person, I think that's what a lot of women do when they're in that horrible situation. They need an outlet as well, the women that are going through it, the young ladies and so forth, because again, as I said, left holding the baby, they need their outlet without the child. The men need that time with the child in their counseling time as well, you know. Counseling, but even if it's like, I know here at RUAC they have men's days and things like that where men bond.
Okay.
And you know, men bond, and even the men's ministry, and you know, when I hear the feedback, it usually is very, very good, and they get deep and emotional because there are no women there.
Oh wow. Right, so basically if it's just you guys together, you might get emotional.
I don't know. Everyone's character is different at the end of the day. Some people are willing to sit in front of 10 people and say, hey, I'm upset, I'm hurt. Saying you're hurt is one of the hardest things to do, I think, for a man, because it shows weakness, because we're supposed to be strong.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be like the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
You know?
Big boys don't cry.
Yeah.
But isn't that an unfair thing that we've put on boys in society?
Men,
because a lot of the guys that have gone to the men's ministry, they're older.
Yeah.
So when they've come, like, at your age, they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. That's not what a man's supposed to be. But then obviously having the pressures of life and getting to that age and thinking, you know what, I really can't deal with it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's actually quite concerning. You know, you got, I mean, the other day, well, a few months ago now, you know, people like Robin Williams, he took his own life.
Yeah.
And they say that men do commit the most suicides, unfortunately, and men are very subject to depression. And some, obviously, we can't generalise. Well, we have to generalise because I can't do specific cases. But sometimes we don't have the ability to offload. And so those feelings, you know, we're internalizing them, which is not actually good for your body.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're talking about young fatherhood there, the good and the bad of it, and it's the Real Love Show, so stay listening.
by giving me all you got. Your love has captured me. Over and over again, I try to tell myself that we could never be more than friends, and all the while inside
there, Roberta Flack, the closer I get to you. Talking about young fatherhood. Well, Jason, you've been very, very transparent with us today. I'm loving your conversation. I'm actually wondering your experiences last 2-3 years of being a dad, how that's impacted on your relationship with your own dad. And Joan, I know you had a thought as well.
Yeah, the difference of, or you know, how it was you being, you raising your child and how your father raised you.
I think now it's like I kind of get a freedom pass in a sense of, to explain it, it's like he more trusts me with my decisions. Mm-hmm. He just lets me get on with it, and like we have adult conversations.
Mm.
Whereas not like he was belittling me before, but it's like we're talking, we're both fathers now, whether I'm however many years younger than him, like gives me that respect of I am a father, you know.
Mm.
He lets me do my thing, and he shows how good of a granddad he is as well, you know. And it just builds, so I could talk to him about anything anyway, you know. It's just an open environment now.
Mm-hmm.
Not like we're friends, like, but it's like we can talk.
Yes, you know? Yes.
You can talk and I won't get in trouble like before, you know. So obviously I'd be careful with what I say to him, but you know, it's more relaxed environment now.
Right.
You can see me grow, you know.
Well, how's the difference, like I said before, with you, how you're raising your son to how your father raised you?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a big difference? And is there, I won't do what dad done?
I think we all do that, don't we? Yeah. What have you noticed?
It was more military, so that's what I was dealing with, getting the beatings. And I had a lot of talks, you know, I had a lot of talks with my dad. I think I was the more stubborn child. I like to feel.
Yeah.
Rather than to hear it.
Oh, okay.
So, which I think is good to a degree. Sometimes you have to go out there and feel it, you know. Sometimes you can't just be told, hey, it's hot. Like, you try it, see how hot it is to you. So now it's like, with my son, that's what I'm going to do. With my son, I'm going to, what I do now is like, I'm kind of more relaxed with it because I want him to be, not to be my friend, but I want him to know that, hey, you can talk to me about anything at any time, you know. Don't feel like, oh, he's my dad or he doesn't want to talk to me about anything. Like, I'm going to be so approachable, you know, and then just build that respect. Because when I was growing up, I was like, what's the word? I didn't know how to, it's not like I was scared of my dad, but it was like certain things I would just worry about, you know, like, I wouldn't even talk to him about it. Do you know what I mean? But I want, as my son grows, I'm not going to always, like, I don't want to be told, I don't want to tell him no. I want him to go out there and see some things, you know, first. I'm going to explain to you, this is what can happen.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you go out there and experience, because without experiences, you ain't gonna learn nothing. Just keep getting told, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's like, you're going to go out there and do it anyway.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yes.
And that's what happens.
So it's human nature rebellion. Yeah, you do that, yeah.
And that's good, though. I think that's good. Looking back on it, it's like, if I didn't do a lot of things, even though I've been told no, I wouldn't know a lot of things now. Seriously, I'm not even a joke. You know? If you didn't go out there and you saw what was actually going out there, if you just shielded away, you won't see what's really going on.
I think the roles of dads are changing, or fatherhood, because like you said, if my dad walked into the room, we all flinched and just stiffened. It was like, okay, and your eyeballs move, nothing else moves. And, you know, yeah, it was like you flinch, but you don't want to have that relationship with your child. And, you know, if the dad walks in, oh, when's mummy coming back? Quickly, it's him.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a horrible father. We just didn't have the interaction where we had an interaction with our mother.
Are you worried, though, that in your desire to allow your child to have this freedom, that you may not give him the necessary boundaries? Because children need boundaries.
It's not freedom.
You're not giving freedom then.
It's when you give someone, you let them understand this is what can happen from it. You know, but I'm still going to allow you to a degree. I'm going to let you go out there and experience certain things, but I just don't want it to feel like, no, I can't ask dad this because he's going to tell me no. Like, see how I feel about it, you know? And then I'll be honest with you. I say, son, I don't really like this, you know?
Okay.
If you really want to go, if you want to do this and do that, I'm going to be scared the first day if he wants to go to a club, you know?
Oh, really? You'd be scared? Why would you be scared?
I don't even know what to, you know, or the first time he wants to go sleep over somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to them teenage, because, like, I remember how it was, like, when I went out, you know, what can happen on the streets, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's so different now,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
People are getting killed at 10 years, 9 years old,
yes,
you know,
it's ridiculous.
So I will worry about that, but I want him to be able to talk to me. Like, I want him to have that relationship. Not that my dad wasn't approachable, but it was very hard. And I know that even my son now, I can see his behaviours. Like, he's very, like, he does, like, he listens, you know? He listens, he understands what no means, like.
Right.
Like, if I say, oh, if you don't do that, I'm smack your bum or something like that, like, he'll fix up quick.
Yes.
Yeah? Or, like, if he sits next to the TV, like, proper close, I send him to get back. And he doesn't listen, then I'll get up a little bit, he's going to run back to the chair to sit down, because he knows what's actually going to happen. It's not a freedom, it's just knowing, hey, daddy's not playing now, you know? So you just get the right balance. But if you're just full-time strict, it's not going to work all the time.
Yeah, you've got to balance it out.
Yeah,
balance,
you've got to let people be themselves.
Yeah, I agree. So listen, we've got literally a minute or two. I wonder, people listening, young guys listening in particular, young fathers listening in particular, maybe give a word of advice to them, and maybe a word of wisdom to young mums too.
Word of advice to being a father now, just take it easy. Don't try not to stress, and just work together with the mother. Try to keep the family bond and just be a team. Even though obviously it's going to get hard, it's not easy, but if you really want it, you work for it. Same like anything in life. And the mothers work with the father. You know, just try to be the unit and just be strong and just take things easy as well. Mm. Give people chances, you know. Give people, because we will make mistakes. We'll make a lot of mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but give us a chance,
mm.
and we should be all right from there.
Mm. I like that. Actually, give a chance.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Any thoughts before we go there, Joan?
I was just simply thinking it might be a bit too regimental, but you know, I remember doing this when I was entering a relationship. Like, what it might just have sprung on you with the baby, but you write down your do's and don'ts, your pros and cons, and your where you want to head.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever anything happens, you go back to that list. If you find yourself getting off balance, it's is where we want to head, this is what we want for the child, so forth. And this is, because it is separate, your relationship to the child's relationship is separate.
That's true.
To keep a journal of that and keep going back and reflecting if you think you're falling off track.
Great points there. Well, we're pretty much out of time, so let me thank so much Jason for coming in today and sharing his thoughts on fatherhood, real education, of course the lovely Joe James, who's been my co-host today. You've been listening to The Real Love Show here on Rurak Radio. I'm here next time for more love. I'll see you then.
Streets and so deep, should I drown? Oh, yeah. Oh, until your voice came to me, I couldn't make another sound. So pure. You told me it's something bad. You told me I can live forever. And no greater love would I ever find. You told me you can make me new. You said I can be just like you. That's when the word renewed my mind. It's amazing how much you love me and keep me when I'm going crazy. Now I got a reason to live. Ever since you saved me, won't you turn me around and show me how to stand? Your love haunts me.
Your love holds me down. Your your love holds me down, down. Your love holds me down, down. Your love holds me down.